A startling fact, the world's most valuable companies no longer mine oil or manufacture cars. They harvest human attention. Meta, Google, and TikTok have built trillion-dollar empires on something far more intimate than natural resources, the fleeting focus of billions of users. We've become what one might call data cows, valuable not for our labor, but for the endless stream of information we produce about our identities, behaviors, and desires. Every click, scroll, and pause becomes a data point more valuable than traditional commodities ever were. This extraction operates through a peculiar alchemy, appealing to passion rather than reason, triggering dopamine-fueled responses that keep us scrolling long after we intended to stop. The result? A widespread crisis of attention, where the average person switches tasks every 40 seconds and checks their phone hundreds of times daily. We've entered an era of affective condensation, where our passions, frustrations, and responsibilities concentrate into a single glowing rectangle. Most disturbingly, the boundary between advertisement and content has dissolved entirely. Unlike newspapers that couldn't monitor their readers, today's platforms read us as we read them, making every interaction a potential marketing opportunity. Success increasingly means presenting yourself as an attention-grabbing brand, with personal identity becoming inseparable from marketable content.
What exactly is this attention being extracted? While bots can track language, they lack what makes attention valuable, its moral dimension. Notice phrases like "pay attention to me" or "attentive." These reveal attention as inherently ethical, involving care and commitment. True attention creates a relationship that transforms both parties. Consider reading Proust. Genuine attention means relinquishing control, allowing the narrator's world to infuse yours until neither remains unchanged. This differs from mindfulness, co-opted for productivity, because proper attention creates moral commitment. The internet's fundamental failure isn't technological, but structural. It constantly solicits attention while preventing the sustained focus necessary for transformation. You can't be genuinely changed when notifications pull you away every few seconds. This gadget being has infected how we understand human behavior. When a predatory artist's actions were described using gaming terminology, compulsion loops, and dopamine boosts, rather than moral language, we witnessed algorithm creep in action. We increasingly conceptualize ourselves as programs running on biological hardware, modeling ourselves after machines rather than using machines to enhance our distinctly human capacities.
Elephants send seismic vibrations kilometers away. Sperm whales' clicks reach 500 kilometers across oceans. Emperor moths emit pheromones detectable 15 kilometers away. Plants use airborne chemicals to send threat information to their species mates. Why assume human telecommunication is primarily a product of consciousness rather than an ancient biological system that consciousness later adopted? Spiderwebs function as external nervous systems, where vibrations in filaments process information. Underground root systems connect vast fields through chemical and electrical signals. Mycorrhizal filaments create wood-wide webs linking hundreds of trees across acres, sharing resources and information. These natural networks mirror our internet, connecting any point to any other, spreading through offshoots rather than reproduction, operating without centralized control. Archaeological evidence reveals symbolic exchange networks reaching back 60,000 years to human evolution's speciation phase, when biological and cultural evolution worked together. Shells and ochre transported across vast distances suggest humans have always been fundamentally network-building creatures. The internet isn't creating something new, it's amplifying our inherent connecting nature. Human beings are inherently telecommunicators, just as sperm whales are click communicators. It's built into our evolutionary heritage. The simulation hypothesis, that our reality is likely a computer simulation, has gained popularity among tech elites, but it's essentially recycled medieval angelology, positioning knowledge of hidden realities as credentials for the enlightened few.
This assumes AI could become conscious, despite our profound ignorance about consciousness itself. The real threat isn't Hall-like machine awakening, but something more insidious, the accumulation of mechanical resistances to human choices, artificial stupidity rather than intelligence. As philosopher Brian Cantwell Smith argues, machines fundamentally differ from us because they don't give a damn. They lack judgment grounded in ethical commitment to the world. The quest for artificial general intelligence stretches deeper into history than commonly recognized. The legendary 13th century brazen head of Roger Bacon, a brass device purportedly answering any yes or no question, represents a medieval Siri. The histories of weaving machines and computing devices are literally intertwined. Joseph Marie Jacquard's 1808 automated loom used punched cards to program designs onto silk, technology that belongs in computer science history. Ada Lovelace, collaborating with Charles Babbage, understood his analytical engine wasn't merely calculating, but weaving algebraical patterns, simulating human thought itself. Her notes are considered the first computer program. Even binary code emerged from Neoplatonic mystical traditions contemplating being, one, and non-being, zero, with Leibniz explicitly connecting his binary system to creation itself. Robert Burton's 1621 Anatomy of Melancholy, written from his Oxford chambers, reveals the width of the world that can be seen from one college window. Books have been described as theaters staging life's drama, mirrors reflecting reality, reproductions of the world in miniature. The 1658 Orbis Pictus pioneered visual education as a brief of the whole world, becoming the first widely used children's picture book. This worldhood of books places them in continuity with oral traditions and the internet, all technologies helping the human mind get outside itself. The internet transmits more than symbolic representations. When we stream music, we hear actual musical performance. When we pay bills online, we create genuine, real-world transformations. This mediation resembles sophisticated scientific instruments like electron microscopes, complex machines generating interpretable representations of otherwise invisible objects. Agostino Ramelli's 1588 book wheel was a fascinating precursor to hypertext browsing. This ingenious machine allowed scholars to consult multiple large volumes without moving, employing sophisticated gears to keep books stable as the wheel rotated. Though limited compared to the internet's infinite pathways, it suggested the revolutionary possibility of extending information access indefinitely. The internet has become simultaneously our greatest affliction and greatest hope. There's no going back, only forward through reshaping it. Traditional civic engagement has been subsumed by social media, creating a tragic comedy of the private commons, where users contribute to universally undesirable outcomes regardless of intentions, operating in a system designed to exploit rather than facilitate genuine communication. Every post adds to the tidal wave submerging our aspiration toward functioning deliberative democracy. Yet understanding the internet as the latest manifestation of humanity's ancient drive to connect offers perspective that might help reclaim our agency. The crisis isn't about information abundance, but about channeling our investment down pathways structurally designed to prevent personal transformation. Rather than seeing ourselves as helpless before algorithmic gods, we might recognize that we breathe life into these systems. The internet doesn't tell jokes or convey meaning, people do. Our challenge is not to escape technology, but to reclaim it as a tool for genuine human connection. This means creating platforms that encourage thoughtful discussion, supporting spaces that prioritize quality over quantity, and developing practices that help us maintain focus. The power to reshape the internet lies not in abandoning it, but in remembering what makes us fundamentally human, our capacity for genuine attention, moral commitment, and transformative connection.